Carol Marx here with A Touch of Gray, and an event I look forward to every year. It is the Health Action Grassroots Meeting of Families USA, where we discuss what's going on in health care in America. And I now have one of the most knowledgeable and very nice guests that I've had on my show. And he's Howard Bedlin, Vice President for Public Policy and Advocacy for the National Council on Aging. And he's been advocating for Medicare and Medicaid issues for seniors for 30 years. So quite a wonderful record.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I wanted to ask you, before we get into some of the things with Medicare and Medicaid, something we haven't had a chance to talk about, but I'm always interested in.
Sure.
Because I feel passionately about the Older Americans Act.
Good.
Okay. And it hasn't been...
Reauthorized.
So for those of my listeners across the country who don't know what the Older Americans Act is, can you tell them what all the good things it does?
Sure. The Older Americans Act is kind of the backbone of senior services. It provides a broad range of services that help seniors stay independent and at home. From senior center services to things like job training and placement to caregiver support to Meals on Wheels, which is probably the most popular, transportation, broad range of issues. And every 5 years, this is supposed to be taken a look at and try to modernize and strengthen it through what's known as a reauthorization process. So we tried to move a bill last year, and actually a very good bill was introduced by Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who put together a bill that we thought did a lot of good things to strengthen the program, because, as you know, the baby boomers are now turning 65, and we think that the Older Americans Act could be strengthened and modernized to meet that growing need. We didn't see any action in the House, however. And Senator Sanders' bill did not work its way through the committee. So we're going to try again this year. You know, we've got a new Congress. We're going to have some new members who are very interested. And we're going to start where we left off, take Senator Sanders' bill, build on that, and try to get it passed through the Senate this year. And if we're successful, then we'll turn our attention over to the House and see if we can do it before the end of next year. So going to keep plugging.
Absolutely. But I think this is one thing that a lot of our listeners don't know, and this is why they need to. Well, you're going to let me know when that bill gets, you know, written and introduced.
Sure.
So I can
Sure.
pick up on it. But with the Republican budget, a lot of these things Right. that we want to talk about for just a couple of minutes are being threatened to be cut, such as, you know, the job training program that you mentioned.
Yes. So a lot of people have probably heard about this upcoming sequester.
Yes.
And a sequester is basically an across-the-board cut in a whole bunch of different government programs, including the Older Americans Act. And bear in mind, the Older Americans Act has not kept pace with growing need. It's been pretty much flat-funded for many years now, which means it hasn't been able to keep pace with the growing number of seniors in need, and it hasn't kept pace with inflation. So, in fact, in real terms, the Older Americans Act spending has been reduced each year. Now we're seeing Congress last year putting new caps on spending that will reduce how much we invest in these programs. And come a month from now, on March 1st, unless Congress can reach some bipartisan agreement, which these days is not an easy thing to do, a sequester will kick in. Now, that affects a broad range of services, but it would mean an across-the-board cut of about 5% in these kinds of services that seniors need to stay independent. So we're very concerned about that.
And we have so many older Americans living in poverty now, and millions. And this is just certainly the wrong time to do that. Now, I want to ask you what you would like to talk about.
Well, you know, I'm glad you talked about seniors in poverty. You know, we're about to get into a big debate about the future of the Medicare program. And, you know, some politicians think that the way to go on Medicare is to force seniors to pay even more than they do now out of pocket and raise home health copayments and raise premiums and make them pay more for their Medigap policies, that's actually something a lot of folks are beginning to think about. And we think it's the exactly wrong thing to do, for in part the reason that you mentioned. People don't understand the basic facts. The fact is half of all Medicare beneficiaries, half, have incomes below just $22,000. Think about that.
That's shocking.
That's about up to about 200% of poverty. But people just don't get that. And frankly, they have significant out-of-pocket costs now. You know, the average Medicare household spends about $4,500 a year out-of-pocket. People don't understand that. And frankly, that's a heck of a lot more as a percentage of income than non-Medicare households. The fact is, Medicare households spend three times more than non-Medicare households out-of-pocket relative to their income. And again, a basic fact that people don't understand. And yet, some politicians think seniors should pay even more. And that's a real threat this year. So that's something that we're very concerned about. Even though Medicare has nothing to do with the budget deficit, it did not cause the deficits that we're in right now. The growth
rates. Didn't President Obama's affordable health care extend the life of Medicare?
It did. It extended the trust fund solvency for 8 years. The Part A, which is the hospital insurance trust fund, would have experienced a shortfall in 2016. And because of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that was extended to 2024. Now, we've got time. We don't have to rush ahead and cut Medicare right now. There are things that we can do to reduce the rate of cost without shifting costs onto seniors. But I'm kind of worried that some people in Congress think that, you know, we need to make seniors pay more when that's the exact wrong thing to do right now.
And if older Americans don't keep on top of this and really keep in touch with their senators, with their legislators, this very thing may come to pass, which would be really devastating. So we have to do everything that we can to see it doesn't.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that the politicians are talking about this, despite the fact that poll after poll after poll all show that Americans don't think we need to cut Medicare to reduce the deficit. In fact, even among Republicans, 70% of Republicans oppose cutting Medicare to reduce the deficit. And I think politicians haven't been hearing from folks. So we're very concerned that people need to get engaged, start paying attention to the debate that's going on out there. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that we can do to reduce spending growth in Medicare. There's a lot of waste and inefficiency. There are things that we're paying too much for. There are delivery system reforms that we think make a lot of sense to prevent people from getting sicker. You know, one example that I keep talking about is how many seniors fall every year. Millions and millions of seniors fall and break a hip.
Bring it up.
Break a hip, break a wrist, have a head injury, end up in the emergency room. Cost Medicare about $18 billion a year now. And in a few years, by 2020, it'll cost Medicare about $32 billion a year. There's a lot that we can do, evidence-based programs that show that we can reduce the rate of falls. That could save Medicare a lot of money, yet, you know, folks are doing very little, if anything, about it. So that's one example.
And I know that happened to my mother, and it resulted in her dying within a year,
often
happens. So that's another thing. And, of course, we do know that when it comes to expenses, medical expenses, they often are in the last 6 months of our life. And, you know, I think that maybe Medicare could buy all their drugs together, you know, just pull, there are a lot of, and medical equipment, too, pool a lot of expenses so we can average them out.
I think you're absolutely right. There are savings that we can realize with regard to how much we pay for prescription drugs and how much we pay for equipment. One last thing that I do want to also make sure that your listeners are following, and you and I have talked about this before, long-term care.
Oh, yes.
You know, that is the great unmet need now. People don't understand that Medicare does not cover long-term care. If you need to go into a nursing home, if you need care at home. And there's a new commission that just got formed to take a look at this. Unfortunately, the way the system works now in our country is people pay for it out of pocket because there's no real coverage for it. and they spend down their life savings. You know, nursing homes cost over $75,000 per year. So it doesn't take long for someone to become bankrupt, frankly. And then they depend on the Medicaid program, which is the program for low-income individuals. We can do much better than that, and we're really hoping that Congress starts paying attention to the need for expanding access to home and community services, keep families together,
so
support caregivers. Absolutely. Save money. And it's not really on the radar screen for a lot of members of Congress, unfortunately. So that's an area we really need to kick up the
attention
to.
Yes, and you're going to have to come back on A Touch of Gray and talk about that, because I think we need to bring the CLASS Act back up.
Yes, that's
and that's a whole show.
That is.
But that's important. We have to let people know about it. It's always such a pleasure to have Howard Bedlin on A Touch of Gray, Vice President of Public Policy and Advocacy for the National Council on Aging. And you look great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We've got to keep fighting the good fight, and we'll
look
forward to talking with you more.
Okay, thanks
again.
Thank
you.